So here's the last of our reasons why people leave church and what you can do about it. This is number 6, and I've deliberately saved this one for last because it's pretty fun to teach on, and it is boredom. People leave church over boredom. Now, before we look at that, let's just review where we've been. We talked about that people leave church because of a poor fit, and that's okay. If your church doesn't fit their style or the structure they want, that's okay. Bless them. Recommit to your vision. Examine your promotion. We've talked about sin and how some people fall back into sin. We looked at Pascal's incongruence principle. And so you keep preaching grace, you leave the door open, you keep them on your list. Then we've looked at interruptions. Interruptions, good and bad interruptions. You want to catch it early, reach out and encourage them to come back or to stay and utilize big days. Then we've dealt with bad experiences and how you once again preach on grace and you preach on the church as a family and you take the initiative to apologize and you run to conflict. And then in number 5, just a moment ago, we looked at isolation and how you help people find relationships and responsibilities and you get them involved in service teams and fun events and small groups and you build a church where extroverts find friends. And then now finally, there's the issue of boredom. Sometimes people just leave your church because they get bored. Now, I'll be the first to admit that I feel this way sometimes. I sometimes get bored at church. I sometimes get bored during my own sermons. Well, that's really bad, right? I wonder how long they've been bored if I get bored during my own sermons. But all kidding aside, just think about it for a moment. Church can become routine. I mean, it's the same 3 songs, the offerings at the exact same place, the sermon ends the exact same way, we go out with the same music, and it's just routine after routine after routine. Now, there is nothing wrong with routine. In fact, one of the things that church provides people is a routine. Church provides a consistent structure, and we need to be there every week. We need to be there every week for ladies like Nicole or like this other guy I was talking about who had gone through the divorce or like the doctor that I was telling you about earlier. I mean, that's one of the beautiful things about church is we are there every week offering help, hope, healing, and the gospel to people when they need it. So there is something about routine, but the problem with routine is if we go to church out of duty, pretty soon that duty will turn in, we'll lose the delight. And so instead of being delighted about this, it becomes a duty that we go through. It becomes a routine that we go through. And if you think about it, if you look back over the last year at your church, there's been a lot of routine in your church. I once had the opportunity to see a man come to Christ in the very first church that I pastored. And as I was talking to him before he made that decision to step across the line, he said, "Nelson, if I walked into," and he called the name of the church, "at 11:20 this Sunday morning, I can tell you exactly what you guys will be doing because when I went to that church 20 years ago, that's what you did at 11:20. And he was right. The church had not changed at all. At 11:20, we would be receiving the offering and the choir would be about to sing and then I would have gotten up to preach after. Same different choir, same process, different preacher, same routine. Now, thank the Lord, that guy eventually did come to faith in Christ, and he eventually was baptized in our church, and his life was changed. But that idea of church being boring, of it being routine, was one of the things that was keeping him from church, but it's also one of the things that causes people to leave the church. Now, in this area, we have to walk a tightrope. It's the tightrope between consistency and variety. Between consistency and variety. On one side, you want to be consistent. You want to be there every week. The word needs to be preached every week. There's probably going to be singing every week. There needs to be consistency. If you follow what I teach in the Assimilation Seminar, you know that I teach you every week to do a consistent connection card. It's consistent. You say it the same way every week. You do it the same way every week. You collect it the same way every week. It's consistent. But that consistency has to be tied in with variety. I mean, if you think about it, in the human way of living, there's consistency in our life, but there's also variety. I eat breakfast every morning, but I don't eat the same thing every morning. Or even if I eat the same thing most mornings, I still like a little variety. And same thing with lunch. I eat lunch around the same time every day, but there's some variety in my lunch. Now, I'm consistent in when I do the things that I do, but there's some variety inside of there. Now, there's more consistency than there is variety. And so that's how it is in the church. You don't have to have variety every single week. In fact, a lot of churches fall into the trap of trying to compete against themselves every week. And so the way to put down boredom is not to try to just be bigger and better and more enthusiastic every week. It's just to add some spice of variety throughout the course of the year. Now, you say, well, people shouldn't leave when they're bored. Well, you know what? There's a lot of things people shouldn't do. But if you've ever been to a baseball game and it gets boring, people leave. If you've ever been to a football game and it gets boring, people leave. You see, this talk is not about what people should do. It's about what people do. And they do leave because it gets boring. And they go looking. They hear about the exciting church down the street, or they hear about something that's going on Sunday mornings that is more exciting than what you're offering on Sunday mornings. And here I'm not talking about even another church, because really we don't compete with other churches. We compete with everything else they could do on a Sunday morning. And so when it gets bored, people start zoning out. At our church, we hand out pens. I happen to have a pen here in the studio that has our church name on it. And sometimes when I'm up teaching, I'll be about 20 minutes into the message and I start hearing the click of the pens. And I know that that's a sign that I have lost the audience, because if they're clicking their pens, they're ready for me to end the message. Well, the thing is, people do click their pens when they get boring, when they get bored. They do look at their watch when they get bored. They do yawn when they get bored. And if you do that enough over time, they will leave. Now, to reiterate what I said earlier, I don't think every week you have to outdo yourself. You see, week after week, there should be great consistency. You can't expect major life change in someone's life every single week. Instead, it is a game that's won by inches, little by little, inch by inch. That is what we're trying to do. That's how people grow in Christ. But occasionally, there needs to be something that people look forward to, or that people do not expect. You see, I can endure a long, boring, consistent drive if I know I'm getting to a destination. And so I can deal with the same week after week after week if I know Easter's coming. I can deal with the same week after week after week if I know the big day is coming. I can deal with the same week after week after week if somewhere in there you challenge me. Or I can deal with the same week after week after week if all of a sudden the unexpected happens. So let's talk about how we can deal with boredom. First is, utilize big days. Utilize big days. Now, I introduced you to the concept of the big day in one of our earlier steps. But let me just remind you, a big day is an all-out push toward a single Sunday for the purpose of breaking a growth barrier and reaching people for Jesus Christ. But a big day can also interrupt the routine. Now, throughout the calendar year inside of the church, we have a number of set big days. For example, Easter should be a big day. And so as you're going through the routine of services in January and February and March, that can be a time for people to look forward to Easter, because they know Easter is going to be something special. And Easter interrupts the boredom. A Christmas service can do the same thing. A Mother's Day service can do the same thing. And so you can put these big days throughout the course of the year. A February service can do that. Or you can create other big days that you have throughout the year, and you give people something to look forward to. You know, people can endure almost anything if they know there's something good that's coming up. And so the big days give you a chance to do that. And so I hope you'll continue your study of big days and take a look at the Evangelism Seminar, the Ignite Seminar, and other resources that I have on the big day. But now, another way to utilize the big day is to make it unplanned, and that's number two, which I would call random exciting things. How's that for a very precise term? Throughout the course of your year, include random but exciting things in your worship service. Well, you say, what do you mean by that, Nelson? Random but exciting things. Well, you don't have to announce that you're going to play a special song, but you do it. I was at a church not too long ago, and the pastor was teaching on career issues and how to love God through your job. And the band walked out that morning, and they kicked into "Take This Job and Shove It. I ain't working, I hear no more." You know that old song? And man, everybody just had a smile on their face, because we walked in expecting, in this particular church service, we were going to stand and we were going to sing the worship songs just like normal. But instead, they kicked into "Take This Job and Shove It." And it was just a little bit of excitement right there in the middle of the message. Another time at a church service I was in, pastor was teaching and he had someone come out and give a great testimony. And it was just exciting to hear their testimony. Nobody knew they were giving the testimony. And then as they walked off, he made an announcement that they had just heard the news that they were going to have a baby. And that was exciting as part of that service. And it's just these little moments of excitement that you can program into your preaching calendar or into the worship services that breaks up that boredom. I've walked out on stage with strange props and opened with that. I once walked out on stage with a big heart-shaped balloon that was connected to a very large $100 bill. And I talked about where your money goes, there your heart goes also. I have a pastor friend who walked out on stage one time soaking wet. And he delivered an entire message soaking wet about baptism. And he challenged people to get dunked, as it might be. Sometimes, instead of going to the sermon, we go to a video of me teaching somewhere on the street. Just something that adds a little excitement. Now, again, I'm not saying you have to do this every week. But could you do this 5 times a year or 7 times a year or once a month? That would be enough to have some unexpected random excitement in the worship service. I've been to churches where they flip it sometimes. Like once a year, they flip it. They have the preaching first and then the music second. And if that's done right, that can be really powerful. We had a situation one time where someone was supposed to come and speak, and at the last minute, they couldn't make it. And so my associate pastor and I, we just pulled chairs out on stage, and we had just an impromptu conversation about the topic that the speaker was supposed to address that day. You know, it was different. It's not something we'd want to do every week, but he had his Bible. I had my Bible. I had 2 or 3 verses I wanted to talk about. He had 2 or 3 verses he wanted to talk about. And it sort of broke up their routine. It's like the churches these days that allow people to submit questions in the middle of the service. It just breaks up the routine. And this can be very powerful. And also, this can cause growth that routine cannot bring. Excitement sometimes opens people up to grow in an area where they wouldn't grow with routine. And then the last one, and my favorite way to overcome the problem of boredom is through challenges. Through challenges. That is, throughout the year, you put forth a big challenge from the pulpit. A big challenge that I often put forth on Easter is I look people in the eye on Easter Sunday and I say, you made the decision to be here on the greatest day in the Christian calendar, Easter Sunday. But I want to challenge you to be here for the next 6 Sundays. And I tell them what I'm going to be teaching on over the next 6 weeks. And I'll even have them check it on the back of their connection card to say, I accept the 6-week challenge to be here for the next 6 weeks. In the fall, when we start our small groups, often our small groups will study the same thing that we're teaching on throughout the year. And I'll say, I want to challenge you to be here for the next 2 months, to go to your small group without missing it, and to be in service on Sunday without missing, if at all possible, for the next 2 months. Or sometimes if I'm preaching on finances, I'll give a tithe challenge. And I'll preach a message on finances, and I'll challenge people to tithe for 4 months. It's called the 4-month tithe challenge. And you've heard me talk about that in some of our other resources. And this can shake people out of their boredom because you challenge them. Not too long ago, I was preaching a message and I was talking about the power of words and talking about how people use their tongue and how the Bible says the tongue has the power of life and death. And I challenged people to go 30 days without cursing. And I had them write on their connection card, the 30-day no cursing challenge. And to my surprise, 100 people in our church did that just in this one particular service. And I followed up with them over the course of that month and told them I was praying for them and gave them encouraging scripture along the way. And it sort of shook them out of their routine. And it was amazing to see how people grew just through that simple challenge. And that caused them to want to stay. So you have different types of challenges throughout the year. Now, you can't put out a big challenge every week. Now, I do invite people to give their life to Christ every week. That's a challenge for those who don't know Christ. And then sometimes I challenge people in their finances. Sometimes I challenge them with their words. Sometimes I challenge them to stay faithful. Sometimes I challenge them in the groups. Sometimes I challenge them to join a group like those introverts we were talking about earlier. I challenge people to go to a play group. But learning how to look your congregation in the eye and extend a big challenge is a very powerful leadership skill. And it will help you when it comes to breaking this pull away from your church called boredom. Well, we've looked at the 6 big reasons that people leave church, and I've talked with you about practical ways that you can deal with it. And the truth is, if we looked at all the reasons that people give for leaving churches, this would be an unlimited resource. I mean, as I said at the beginning, 20% of the time, who knows why people leave churches? There are as many reasons for why people leave churches as there are people who have left churches. But 80% of the time, I believe it's one of these six identifiable reasons. And as you can see, there's very specific things you can do to close that back door and to keep people at your church. And I want to encourage you not to spend all of your time doing this. Spend 80% of your time reaching new people. And I know that sounds kind of weird for me to say after you've just invested a large amount of time listening to this resource. But spend 80% of your time trying to reach new people. But then set aside some time, a little bit of time, 20% of your time, to think through how you can keep people and how you can keep people from leaving your church. And I think that can be a really powerful growth engine for you as well. Because again, growing churches spend 80% of their time reaching new people and only 20% of their time trying to reclaim people who've left. Stagnant churches spend 20% of their time reaching new people and 80% of their time trying to reclaim people who have left. I also hope this resource has given you some handles for why people leave. And maybe now that you have those handles and you understand the reasons, the next time somebody leaves because they're just not a good fit for your church, it's not going to be as emotionally harmful or as emotionally hurtful as it would have been if you had not listened to this resource. And maybe as you listen to this resource with your staff or even share some of what you've learned in this resource with your family, that will be an encouragement to them to say, you know what? People leave. People do leave. And sometimes they leave for the right reasons. And sometimes they leave because they need to leave for a time, but we've got to keep the door open and we can continue to pray for them and hope that they come back. And then I hope this resource will also help you know where to put your focus. I hope you found some things that you can do to create a culture of grace, a culture of fellowship, a culture where strangers are turned into guests and guests are adopted into the family. And I hope this resource has made you a better leader, better at articulating what's going on in your church. It's given you a deeper understanding of the dynamics that go on in your church. And maybe, just maybe, you've reached the point where sometimes good people can leave, but it's not going to distract you from the people that God wants you to reach. Instead, it will strengthen your vision and strengthen your calling and allow you to focus on the next person that God has for you down the line. So I hope this resource will be a conversation starter. I hope it will be an encouragement to you. And I look forward to hearing your feedback, and feel free to contact me at any of the emails or websites that are on this resource, or reach out to where you purchase this resource, or just contact me directly at the Journey Church. And I hope we can continue to have this conversation. And so thank you for listening. Thank you for making it all the way to the end and not leaving me halfway through this resource. So God bless you as you lead your church.